From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today he commences a message entitled, The Privileges and Obligations of the Sons of God, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Follow to Know. The text is found in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Not all at once, but by degrees shall we attain to holy knowledge. And our business is to persevere and learn by little and little. We need not despair, though our progress may be slow, for we shall yet know. The Lord, who has become our teacher, will not give us up, however slow of understanding we may be. For it is not for His honor that any degree of human folly should baffle His skill. The Lord delights to make the simple wise. Our duty is to keep to our main topic and follow on to know, not this particular doctrine or that, but Jehovah Himself, to know Father, Son, and Spirit, the triune God. This is life eternal. Let us keep to this, for in this way we shall gain complete instruction. By following on to know the Lord, we learn healing after being torn, binding up after smiting, and life after death. Experience has its perfect work when the heart follows the trackway of the Almighty Lord. My soul, keep thou close to Jesus, follow on to know God in Jesus, and so shalt thou come to the knowledge of Christ, which is the most excellent of all the sciences. The Holy Ghost will lead thee into all truth. Is not this His gracious office? Rely upon Him to fulfill it.
King of kings and Lord of lords, to leave His heavenly crown. Born in a manger low, a king, how can it be that He came to earth in humble form to save a wretch like me?
Penalties were laid on Him.
on the cross of Calvary, my Savior bled and died. Paid in full sin's awful debt, for me was crucified. Worthy is the Lamb of God, honor, glory, praise to him whom my redemption bought. I'll serve him all my days.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised on the cross for all my sin. He bore my sorrow. He bore my grief. All the sin's penalties were laid on him.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of messages on the subject of prayer, dealing especially with Christ's own instructions as found in the Lord's Prayer. The opening words of the prayer define our relationship to God as we pray, Our Father. As children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christians are a richly endowed people. The foremost privilege we enjoy is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit with all that conveys to us. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message called The Privileges and Obligations of the Sons of God.
We return this morning to look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, but first we read in the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through to verse 21. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his own name's sake. As I said, we return this morning to the words of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, or at least to some of the words there, as we continue to think upon the opening section of the Lord's Prayer. We've spent some time on the first two words of the prayer. I've said that in many ways I believe these are the most important words in the entire prayer, and it is only if we can honestly say these things that we can pray any of the rest. It is only as we understand these words and their import that we can enter in to the meaning of the rest of the prayer and the blessing that that prayer brings, both in our setting it before the Lord and in our coming constantly into an experience of his answer to it. Jesus said, after this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven. We have spent some time on those first two words, Our Father. I have indicated that the plural Our Father teaches a Christian that we never stand alone before God. We took time to consider what that means as it's opened up to us through the Word of God. We never stand alone as believers when we stand before God. The Father, that word emphasizes the special intimacy which we have as believers with the God of heaven. He is our Father. Now I want us to go a little further today, and if possible, finish out our study of these words. I'll not promise that it's probable, but if possible, we're going to try and do that. Because the third thing that the words our Father would indicate to us is that we stand before God as people who are richly endowed. And then the final thing that it teaches us is that when we pray our Father, we confess our relationship, but also our obligation to God as his sons. And so this morning I want us to seek to ponder for a few minutes the privileges and the obligations of the sons of God. The privileges are seen first in this, that we stand before God as a people who are richly endowed by Him. When you think of all the Scripture says that our Father is to us and does for us, then you will understand why I say those words indicate the rich endowment that God has given to His people. I think that the Lord Jesus intends us to keep this consciously before us as we come to pray. That is why in most of the prayers of Scripture, we are instructed to commence with praise, with worship. In other words, there is this constant stress in the Word of God that when we come before God, we don't simply rush in with our want list. We don't simply rush in with our requirements, with our needs, with our shortcomings, or even with the confession of our sins. There are times when that burden will be so heavy upon our hearts that it will take precedence over all else. But it is usual in Scripture that the Holy Ghost would instruct us that when we come to pray, we would take time to worship and to praise. In other words, to consider the endowments of God, the blessings of God upon us. It is all too easy to forget this. And certainly, I think we would all plead guilty to the crime, and crime it is, of allowing the pressures of life, the concerns of our circumstances, the physical needs, the material needs, the sorrows and the perplexities that we all too often run up against. We allow these things to block out of our minds the rich fullness that we as Christians enjoy in Christ. If we can honestly address God as our Father, then whatever our current situation, we are already richly blessed. God is our Father, and as our Father in heaven, He has mightily, fully endowed His people. If you take your Bible, you will find that there is an entire list, a very full list, of things that the Lord does for His children. First and foremost among them is that He gives us His Holy Spirit to dwell within us. We were reading this morning in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 15. You've received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Abba is another word for Father. It is the word of peculiar closeness and intimacy. Now, don't run away with stupid charismatic notions on that. I have heard charismatics speaking to God as Pop, because they say this is the word that a little child would use of its father. Sure it is, but remember that in those days, a little child was taught to have more reverence for its father than these so-called Christians have for the one they claim to be their God. This is not to allow us to forget the fear of God and the majesty and the glory of God, but it is to stress the peculiar closeness of our relationship with God. And nothing will show the beauty of the Abba better than a visit to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Mark tells us that in His agony in the garden, the Lord Jesus cried, Abba, Father. And that is the Spirit which God gives to all His people. Writing to the Galatians in chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul says, because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The first great blessing of being one of the sons of God, of having God as our Father, is that we have His Spirit indwelling us, this Spirit of truth to comfort us, to lead us. We were reading this morning in Romans 8, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It is the prerogative of the sons of God to be led by the Spirit of God. I don't want to take time to digress too much this morning, for I've already set out the hope that I want to get through the entirety of the remainder of this study. But let me tell you, if this definition of the sons of God is accurate, and obviously it is, for it's inspired, then there is something radically wrong with the experience of most professing Christians. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. God gives His Holy Spirit not just as an item in our theology, not just as something to which we can give nodding assent, but as a living, vital reality to lead His people day by day, to give His people a consciousness that they are in fellowship with God, and that they are in the center of the will of God, and that they are living well, pleasing to God. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Can the Holy Spirit speak to His people? Sure He can. Not only can He, but He must. He must. And yet, as I move among fundamentalists today and Reformed, Calvinistic, separated, Bible-preaching, supposedly Christ-exalting Christians, I hear this again and again, that this is mere mysticism. They have allowed the Pentecostalist movement or the charismatic movement to take over this idea that the Holy Spirit can speak to His people. We do not believe in ongoing revelation in the sense of an ongoing inspired revelation of new truth from heaven. But what we do believe in is the vital ministry of the person of the Holy Spirit to the people of God, to lead them into all the truth that has been revealed in the gospel, and to make Christ a living, vital reality to them. This is not mysticism. This is Bible Christianity. And when we leave the Holy Ghost out, we are leaving out the first and fundamental blessing of being among the sons of God. We have received, says Paul to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2 and 12, we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of or by God. We have received the Spirit in order to know all that is ours in Christ, in order to be led into all that is ours in Christ, in order to enjoy all that is ours in Christ. We have been given the Holy Spirit to comfort, to lead, to teach us all the fullness of God in His Son. And of course, especially, He has given us His Spirit to impart to us power to serve Him. You remember what He said through Zechariah, chapter 4 and verse 6, it is not by might nor by power,
It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is not by might, that is by armies. There is no spiritual strength in numbers. I want you to understand that.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.